And we are in the book of Philemon, so turn there with me, por favor. Before we start, I have to tell you this. I began this course probably without being recorded and said it was my dearest hope and dream to finish this course, to have one subject, one course, one book that I finish completely. And I said, should be able to do it because it's only 25 verses. So Deb informs me like 2 weeks in, she says, you have 20 classes. And I'm going, I've already used 4 on the name Paul. And I'm going, and there's 20. So that means some are going to have to be like, you know, read the whole verse and go, I don't know what that means or something. And then move on. You know? Which then I'll be in trouble for lying. But anyway. Anyway, so we'll just see how this thing works out. It is a hard life, especially for me. All right, we're in Philemon, and there's only one chapter, so verse 1, Paul, a prisoner. Well, let's at least expand it since I know it's, you know, let's just say Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, okay? We may spend the whole course on this verse, but anyway. I'm going to read this. I said something similar to this when we began, and then I realized where I got it from. It's right here. So I'm just going to read a little bit of this. In all of his letters, Paul includes that he is an apostle, but never mentions it here. In portions of this letter, Paul presents himself as Philemon's friend, but he starts off placing himself lower than an apostle and lower than even being a friend. He starts off being a prisoner. He starts off being a prisoner. Why does Paul only emphasize that he is a prisoner and bypasses titles that would give him more respectability in the eyes of people? And isn't it true that today's modern thinking, and which is not modern thinking, it's as old as the fall, it demands, you know, well, I need to be licensed, or I need to be ordained, and I need to have a title, and I need all of this kind of stuff, or people won't listen to me. And you get, you know, the guy that God chose to go before Jesus to get everybody to look to Jesus was John the Baptist. He wore this big hairy camel outfit. And, you know, he snacked on locusts and wild honey, which the honey was good for you, but and those little locusts are crispy, you know. But I mean, and he didn't really go around in Jerusalem. Think about it. Now, this is the guy that God chose. So he goes out and he's baptizing, and he's pretty much saying, you know, the Pharisees show up and he goes, you vipers, you know, generation of, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And just, you know, everything about him is wrong if you go by the wisdom of this world. It's hot in here. I'm sure y'all are cold. I can't get out of it. My finger. It's staying. For for those of you who are just listening to this by CD or whatever means, that little pause was a little gap where we all just meditated on those things. Anyway, so there's this wisdom of God that is just different, and it's not the way we think. And all of our zeal and all of our desire to see God glorified, and you know, we're going to be one of those that stands up for Him. So we seek to do that through means other than the Lord, and we seek to find a respectability, excuse me, that will impress people enough to listen. Right? Impress people enough to listen. John the Baptist didn't fit that bill, and then Jesus shows up, and he's a carpenter's son. You know, the only one that fit the bill was Saul of Tarsus, and he quit doing that. Yeah. Right? He became Paul the apostle, but it was, you say, well, you know, he's an apostle. Well, okay, yeah, but not too many people recognize that, even in the church. Especially in Jerusalem. But the churches that he helped raise up, or that he led people to the Lord or whatever, they respected that. And so Paul is writing, and instead of saying, you know, look, I'm an apostle, and, you know, you know, and using that to sway him, he doesn't even begin with that at all. He puts himself really low and gives people an excuse to not listen to them or not respect them. He gives it to them. You say, well, if I'm doing real good and I have a reputation, and then somebody comes along and ruins my reputation, well, I'll be with the Lord. But Jesus made himself of no reputation. Apparently Paul is too. Right? And he presents himself as less than the man that he's talking to. Why does Paul only emphasize that he is a prisoner and bypasses titles that would give him more respectability in the eyes of people? He does so for the same reason that Jesus gave up his status as God and became man, or lesser, or much lesser. What power to come as God, and yet he just comes as a man. We'll get into that later on sometime. Sometime before we leave the first five verses or whatever. And so we're in Philemon. Keep your place here. But over in Philippians, most of you know it, but we do have some newer students here that haven't heard me wax eloquent in the book of Philippians. Or shall I say wax elephant in the book of Philippians. Verse 5, chapter 2, verse 5, Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So his point of saying these things in Philippians 2, verse 5, is that he wants the mind of Christ that he describes to be in all Christians. All right, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be, or something to be grasped after, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even unto death. That's the Jesus he preached. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, it's It's the mind of the crucified, folks. It's the mind of the crucified. I know this will sound funny, but you know, I think I know Christ crucified better than St. Paul. I know. I'm pretty sure I do. I've been there, and not that many people know Jesus. But maybe if you mix Minneapolis and St. Paul together, then maybe they all know more than me. But not just the city of St. Paul. They probably know way more than me all over that place. All right. Consider the Jesus that came to earth but now lives inside of Paul. And that's the thing. That's the thing. That's the thing. We're not in Philemon. We're not just considering Paul. And we're not just considering Philemon. And we're not just considering a subject concerning Onesimus. The Spirit of God would have us be confronted with the Christ, the Jesus that's in Paul. And he's the crucified one. He's not just Jesus. You say, well, where do you get that from? From just about every word and spirit in every word and sentence that he says, where just starting off, Paul, the prisoner, you know, we now go, you know, we now hear that and we go, oh, the prisoner Jesus Christ. But I mean, to some people, it would just sound like this, Paul, the prisoner, because he's just a prisoner. So there is that, that emphasis that the Spirit would have us take to not just read a book. But, you know, I started, I think, one of the first classes, and I said, here are the players. Consider this in sort of a form of a play, and to consider what's going on in that guy, and how is this guy going to respond, and what does it mean to the overall? What does it mean? What does it mean to the church? Well, if you're going to be in ministry, you got to think of that all the time. You got to think about what it means to the church. Well, I tell you, the only way to not drive yourself crazy by thinking constantly about, well, what about this and that and da 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 da, is that it become Christ crucified. That you're, that not your, not just your mind, but your being. Yes, your mind must be saturated with the Word, with the Scriptures. Yes, do it. Know the Scriptures from cover to cover. Like I used to say when I was in Bible school, you know, I want to know Jesus from Genesis to the maps. I want to know the Lord. I want to know Him. And you know what? You can know Him in the maps. I tell you what, the Lord will show you a lot of stuff that is actually just a picture of what's written in the book of Acts. Calm down back there. You know, for a girl that has ringing in her ears, she sure does, you know, yeah, yeah. Most of you know she's the drummer for our band, and she came to me years ago, and she said, because first I'd heard of it, you probably remember this, she came to me and she said, Randy, I've just got constant ringing in my ears all the time. And I said, don't answer it. Do you remember that? Yeah. Never know who that is. On the inside of your head? Come on. This could be dangerous. Do not answer that. All right, so consider the Jesus that came to earth but now lives inside of Paul. So What we're trying to do is make this a real situation, because it was, but it is more than just a real event. It is a real situation in which we may find Christ living in someone. How many of you want Jesus living in you? Amen. This guy had it. And he proceeds by that spirit and by that nature and by that life. The Lord was God. Jesus was God, but he became a man. We think that God's purpose for the incarnation was to reveal Christ's identity as God. We think that's it. That Jesus came down here so he could, I'm sure it's written there, but he came down here so that he could prove that there's a God, and that proved that he's God, right? Isn't that what a lot of people think? That's why Jesus came down here. So that before this time, we only kind of believed in a God, but we couldn't really get close to or whatever. But now, this is God in the flesh. Anyway, we think Jesus came in human form to let people know that there is a God and that he is not man, but God. But why would that be his emphasis if in becoming man he gave all that up? Right? I mean, we just read it. We're still here. We haven't even turned from here. In Philippians, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He thought it not a thing to be fought over and everything. No, I'm God too. You know? Well, I'm the Father. You need to do what I say, rebellious son. No, Jesus didn't fight over it. He said, yeah, the thing that we are in essence is greater than the things that we do. The glory if we shine, or the throne that we sit upon, or the supernatural that we do. The essence is what he came to reveal. The essence of God. This, in other words, this is what God is like. And the truest picture, folks, of where that was seen was at the cross. You know, you go, well, that seems dumb. Not to God, because that's who he is, see. Hallelujah. So why would that be his emphasis if in becoming man, he gave all that up? Jesus' divine identity as God fell into the ground and died in order to gain a harvest that was after his kind. In other words, if when the Son of God came, instead of having angels singing, you know, out there, and then people came up and went, just a baby, man, you know, instead of whatever, you know what I mean? This is the one. It's just a little kid. He's not even a toddler yet. You know, he's just newborn. If Jesus had to just split the universe right open, I mean, just ripped and tore the space-time continuum and stepped out glowing and, you know, I am God, and the whole earth is going, oh my God, it's him, you know, and, you know, anyway, I believe there's a God. If the goal, if the goal was just to get people to believe he was God, he kind of did it a really bad way. Right? That's not a real good way. You know? And he goes, yeah, you know, I'm the Son of God. I know, you know, Joseph the carpenter. Yeah, I worked with tools and stuff, but I'm, you know what I mean? It's like, are you really, is this going to convince people? Couldn't you have come some greater way, in greater glory? And he's going, I gave all that up. So that those who could see past the flesh and not depend on something, you know, just wow, but could see right through all of that and go, oh my God, that's Jesus. How many people stood at, how many people were there at the cross? Pharisees, da 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 da, all these people there at the cross. How many of them went, man, that's God? I can only think of one. That was a soldier. And he said, yeah, Roman soldier. And he goes, surely this is the Son of God. But I mean, you know, it went dark for 3 hours or whatever it was, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, earthquake happened at the same time, you know. They're going, maybe he's the Son of God. Yeah, you know, but I don't, you know, if he is, I don't want to hack God off, you know what I mean? All right, so he willingly gave up all his rights, privileges, and powers of being God in the sense of what we call God, supernatural, powerful God. You say, well, he's, you know, he still did miracles. Nobody else was doing that. Well, you know, yes, they were. I mean, Moses and a whole bunch of them all the way through had done a bunch of stuff. Well, yeah, but he raised someone from the dead. So did Elisha. And we, you know, and you just go on and on and on. I mean, and so when it gets right down to the actual fact, you say, but he still did supernatural things. And Jesus said, I didn't do it. My Father did it. My Father who dwells in me did it. You know? He goes, look, I ain't here to declare me. I'm here to reveal God, the Father, but God in his true nature and his true being. All right, so, but Jesus did not just do this thing of the incarnation and getting low at one great event. Okay, this is the great event. I'm going to become man. And that's going to show it. No, he constantly was showing and getting lower, just like Paul, what we're going to see in Philemon, just like Paul, constantly. He constantly was hiding himself, taking the lower seat and giving up his rights. A good one is Gospel of John. I like this one. I like them all. I like the Bible. John chapter 2. Yeah. Yeah, this is my favorite book. No, this one right here. Not just John. John's in there too. All right. So we're talking about Jesus getting lower. I wrote down, his mom had to put him in a position where he had to do a miracle at Canaan. Okay, so let's read verse 1. On the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Notice that it starts with her. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they lacked wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Now, that's a Jewish mom. There's anybody who knows that that's a Jewish mom. They have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And his mother saith unto the servants, whatever he saith unto you, do it. I mean, he didn't step right up and go, I'm going to, this, because this is the first miracle. This is his first miracle. He doesn't step right up and go, I'm going to do this. Yeah, Mom, thanks for reminding me. You know, this will be my big, you know, debut. Yeah, stepping out on the big stage today, you know. And people, my reputation will go far and wide. He's going, Mom. Mom, would you please? So she goes behind his back and says, look, whatever he says, do it. But she probably says it where he could hear her saying that to those guys. So he's getting lower. He's trying to stay low and people want to lift him up. Did you know that? He's trying to stay low and people want to lift him up. Next one is the only time he really admitted he was the Messiah was to someone who didn't believe in him or in a coming Messiah. His first healing, not his first miracle, but his first healing was to a Roman child who knows nothing of there being a Messiah. In other words, if he's doing this to prove supernatural acts that he is the Messiah, he's going to the wrong people. There must be more to him than what we attribute to him. You know, Jesus said, be careful how you hear. Because we hear about Jesus, imagine if Jesus was like a slaughtered lamb on a throne or something. You know, let's just try to picture such a weird thing as that, you know. That's really what he was. And everybody's trying to exalt him for him and for being God and for his power. And he's presenting himself in eternity as a slaughtered lamb with still the marks and the look of someone who's defeated. Some of y'all who here remember my picture out of the book of Revelation when I was sharing, you know, like the mountainside over here, and it comes to a valley, and mountain over here, and it comes down to the valley, and on this side is all these beasts and these men with pointy, you know, things and armor and all this weird stuff and teeth going, and there's thousands upon thousands, and they're ready to fight the battle to win this thing against the power of God, you know, and they're ready to fight, and they're ready to go rushing down that hill. And on this side, here they go. It starts, and this little lamb comes trotting out. And he's just going like this, you know. And he comes out, you know. And I can just see the odds makers, you know, not the people who are fighting. They're going, I bet you I know how this is going to turn out. I bet you I know how this is going to turn out. And, you know, God's people could be standing there and going, oh, no! What? Somebody made a mistake. This is God's side. This is it? We got this little guy? I mean, come on. And Jesus already knew. See, he came to die. He didn't come to win. He came to lose. And in losing, winning. And he did lose and he did win. Right? There's this truth, folks. It is possible to lose the battle and win the war. Well, let me modify that. It is possible to win, to lose the battle and win the war by losing the battle, meaning intentionally losing it. I know it's a dumb example, but I've referred to it many, many years ago. But there was this movie out with Paul Newman called Cool Hand Luke, and he got thrown in prison and he got in with all these prisoners, but he was brand new there. And there's this big, tough, mean guy, big old guy, and Paul Newman is a lot smaller. You know, this is going to shut him up. This big guy's going to shut him up and shut him down and show again to everybody that this Goliath-looking guy is the winner. And so Paul Newman, the guy just starts beating him. Paul Newman, he just get back up, and the guy hit him again. He's not going to hurt him, you know. He's too small anyway, even if he wasn't hurt. Bam, knocked him back down. And finally, after a while, it's just too brutal, and people are saying to him, stay down. And he'd get back up, and then bam. And then finally, the big mean guy's going, stay down. You know, this is turning ugly. And it got so ugly that even the big guy, they all just walked off and went, oh, man. Everybody respected him after that. Now, I know that's not the greatest picture, but it is a good picture of the fact that we always think we have to be stronger, we have to be smarter, we have to be better, we would never dream we have to be smaller, we have to be weaker, we have to, you know. For example, the scriptures, you know, says that through death he defeated him that had the power of death, that is the devil. How do you defeat the guy that has the power of death? By dying. Aren't you really falling in, you know, don't think about it. Aren't you really falling into his little web there? Different kind of death. Different kind of death. We're not just talking about regular death. We're not just talking about giving up. We're not just talking about getting low. And that's just those are just words. We're talking about a different kind of death. We're talking about lamb death. We're talking about, you know, it's the slaughtered lamb on the great day of atonement. The thing that frees everybody. They're all looking forward. It's the great day of atonement. We're today, and we're all sins for the whole year are going to be forgiven. This is going to be a glorious day. And from that on, we're going to party, and then the feet, well, they will. They will. So they all go there and they're, hey, high priest, how's this going to happen? What are we going to do? He says, see that little lamb? Yeah, I'm going to kill it. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. Isn't it enough? Is that the only way that God accepts? Yeah, it is. Okay, I'll step up to the plate there. That's enough. He's enough. It'll be enough. No, it'll be more than enough. It'll cover all sins for that year on the great day of atonement. It'll wipe everything clean and give every, as it were, make all things new, you know, in type and shadow. Anyway. In Matthew 26, it says, you don't have to turn there, but it says, I wrote down, at his trial, not only did he not open his mouth to justify, he also did not call 10,000 angels, but relied upon no power but the power of God seen in weakness and foolishness. All right. So he's standing there. They're mocking him. You know. I mean, some people, they could take a hit and not return anger. Some people are that way more than they could take someone mocking them. Yes. Well, but I mean, I hope I didn't misread you, but it certainly isn't that he's relying upon that he's stronger and wiser.
No. Yeah. They take the wrong, being understood because he was the son of God.
Right.
He's being told he's not only just a person, but he's worse than everybody else. So, our human nature, we could be the person situation that we might be right or better. That does happen at times. But being represented by others as not that.
Right.
And that's harder than just being the weaker one and knowing it.
Well, and in my, I'll just tell you my approach to that. This is just me, and I'm not saying it's right. I never think I'm wiser or smarter or better, and I'm just taking this for the idiots or what. Not that that's what you were saying. But I never go there because it's not about me. It's not about what I know. It's about a certain spirit that is Christ, and by that spirit, I will win, you know, not by my own depth or understanding that, hey, you can do this to me, but, you know, it's going to, you know, I mean, I really am better than you, so I'll rise higher than you. And not, again, not that you were saying that, but some people could go there. So I just, yeah, that's, oh, it's real ugly. It, in fact, it's not just the opposite, it's ugly opposite. Because taking the lower seat isn't like, I'm really the king in this place. You know what I mean? Yeah, and if they, you know, and if no one ever, well, that's right. You know, Mallory said that's not the lower seat. And if no one ever calls me up, I know that I'm better than all these people. Or you know what I mean? I mean, there are folks, the selfish nature can do all kind of junk and come up with all kind of ways to justify and still be righteous in themselves, you know? Yes. See, I got that one right here.
Yeah.
Except mine's what would Judas do? But anyway, go ahead.
And the way we represent it is what would Jesus do then?
I will do that. Instead of allowing it to be Jesus to do it, you don't have to think.
Yes.
I will do that because that's the way Jesus would have done it.
Right.
Because there, you really don't have the mind of Christ or
yes.
You. You are doing it on your own.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just do it without thinking, it's then no longer I, but Christ.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's that. Sorry, but that's when you were sharing about, like, the way you see the things. I mean, because obviously that's not you. And you don't understand the things that way because it's him in you. And it's his nature that works in you. And in that thought there, maybe there's other things that need to be Christ, right? But that part where you say, well, I'm better, all that doesn't flow out of you because it's not you, it's him.
Right.
And it's like Sister is saying, right? It's not something you can, you don't think about it like, well, I'm better, so I'm going to, you know, I'll put my life down, but I'm, you know, you're still...
Right.
Still better than you, you know, because
right.
It's the nature of him in you,
that's
and you,
right.
You can't like add up to it or scale up to it. It just happens.
Right. Well, that's such a good picture too, both of you, and that thing of what would Jesus do? Well, around here we could wear one of these things, about 20 of them on here. What would the Lamb do? And think that we were. Right on. Well, I'm just going to spot what the Lamb would do. First of all, there is no way you're going to figure out what the Lamb would do. You think that he would do that, but he does something completely different.
Defies religion.
Yeah, it's not about figuring out what would the Lamb do. It is about that, exactly what you said, brother, and it is about that mind. You know, Paul said it, and we read it. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus who did this. Okay, so and then we have to clarify that. Well, we're not talking about letting the brain of Christ be in us. You know, well, we're going to have to do brain surgery here. It's not about that. It's not about, nor is it this one, which we think is probably the answer. Let the thoughts of Christ be in me. You know, let the scriptures be in my mind. That's a you should know the scriptures. But the Pharisees knew the scriptures, and they killed Jesus.
Amen.
They were crucifiers, not crucified. It's a big difference of spirit on all of that. Yes.
You know, I was just thinking about that's really the same mentality that Saul had as he persecuted the church. I'm sure he was thinking, "What would Jehovah do?"
Right.
Yeah.
You know, or Yahweh, you know. But, you know, like you said, there's no way you can figure out what the mind of Christ is, you know, with your carnal mind.
That's right. But here's the kicker. I don't know anybody that goes, you know, Roy, my mind is carnal. Most of us kind of go, we
kind of go, we stay away from the subject. It's like, yeah, the carnal mind is bad. But we never cross that line of going, you know what? I am carnal as a stump, and there's no two ways about it. I need Jesus, and I'm going to get in the Word and cry out, and I'm not going to quit until His mind is in me. Hence, the reason for this Bible school, why it was raised up. That's why. It was. That's the reason. All right. Wow. No, it's good. Okay, so instead of discovering the kind of God He is by seeing Him beyond the veil of His flesh and beyond the outward activities, we give all our energies to proving that He is deity. And of course, the devil believes that He's God. In fact, he knows He's God and trembles, but He doesn't change. It doesn't change him. If you want change on the inside, quit being a devil. You know, I take no credit for these great thoughts that come to me. That's a joke, people who don't get it. It's just a joke. All right, so what does all this have to do with Paul? Paul was in prison. He was following the crucified. He carried himself as a vessel of the crucified. And he so much has said that, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Okay. Well, see, there's so many interpretations of this stuff. We look at that, I am crucified with Christ, and we go, okay, well, I'm dead so that I can live again. But better. A better me. You know, but Paul is, you know, I would encourage someone to read the next part of that. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, Christ liveth in me. Okay? Not I, Christ liveth in me. Okay, great, but really, his meaning in Galatians 2:20 is not about just living Christ, because that's what God had in mind, that you would be dead in your old nature and Christ would live in you so that you wouldn't sin anymore. I started to say as much, but I'm but the idea, that's sort of where we, that's it, that's what we grasp that scripture, but the rest of the verse clears it all up. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, not I, Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by that faith that we just talked about. The faith of the Son of God who loved me by giving himself for me. I live by that spirit that loves by giving itself, and I call it Christ in me. Con Cristo estoy juntamente crucificado. Y ya no vivo yo. Mas vive Cristo en mí. Just in case you didn't catch on.
That would wake you up.
Well, in closing, don't be picking up your stuff. It ain't that over with yet. Just waking you up a bit. He carried himself as a vessel of the crucified and had every hope that Philemon would get low and follow the crucified also. That was his hope. That was what he was injecting into the situation. Isn't that cool? It's totally cool. It's not accidental. It is carried out with, you know, all of those things that are said there. It's amazing. Okay. So what about Christians today? Even now, in this generation, there are those of us who stand with the crucified. When things go wrong, we do not wonder why life has taken such a downward turn for us. You say, yes, I do. I do it all the time. What are you talking about? Okay, well, let's just look at the scriptures then. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12 and 13. 12 says this. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange. Think it not strange. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to test you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Okay, so God is using things to test what? To test if I'm a Christian. No, he's testing you to the fiery trial is meant to burn off the dross, as it were, so that the gold comes forth. What does gold represent in the scriptures? Deity. Deity. So what does it mean then? What does all that mean? Well, it means that the fiery trial is God's desire and attempt to separate a little more of you, the dross, from him, the gold. And that's the test. Will you allow that fire to work on your behalf? You know? Or will you just fill the pot with dross? You know? Push the gold down to the bottom of the barrel and you rise up and say, I need God. Well, you're standing on it. You know, in the pot. You know what I'm saying? You're standing on him. So quit looking up and calling out for him. When you've pushed him down to the bottom and your dross heavily laden upon him, like a big old... Anyway. Oh, no, you don't want me to come on. Not with what I was going to say. Yeah, hold up. This trial could actually, you see, we could say, well, it could work for us. This trial could actually bring forth Christ to the glory of the Father. And the Father would look and go, you passed the test. What was the test? What did I do? You got burned off, baby, and you let Jesus come forth. You let the cross be real enough to burn you off, even if it's just in this one situation. Amen. You know, that's a victory, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You know, and that's what we're looking for, true victory. We say the victory is when the Lord takes away the fire trial. Right? He says, I sent it. Don't think it's strange. I sent it to test you. Carolyn was first, yeah.
Don't look at the glass. You look at what's inside.
Yes, sir. Amen. Valerie?
That really
the trial is that the two will separate. And somehow my idea of the trial is that, well, it won't be there at all. There won't be any dross. Otherwise, the dross will be a failure. But, you know, I just went through something this week, and it was fiery. Yeah. It was rough. But, and there was dross. But something, at a certain point, it gave. It was like, no, this needs, like, something just happened by the grace of God. You know, it's like, through all the junk. Like, oh my gosh, this needs to be unto Him. And it, like, cleared it. But there was dross. And I felt bad because there had been dross. Right. You know. But the fact that there was dross kind of showed that separation had happened.
Right.
You know, and then to choose the one after that, instead of feeling like I just went through something and there was dross, so I failed. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord wasn't shocked that I had those kinds of reactions. He knew it was there mingled in with my love for Jesus the whole time.
Right.
He knew that. I'm shocked because I thought I was better than that. Right. Or I didn't think it needed to be Christ. It could be me. Or something. I don't know what I thought. But the separation, it just gives a lot of hope that the gold's there. It's just the separation. He's separating it. I can't separate it. He has to separate it. Amen. And he's doing it. That's not a failure. The failure would be to embrace the dross.
Right.
That would be the failure. Right. You know? Anyway, I'm just rejoicing what you just said.
No. You're saying it in a different angle, and it's always good. Well, and that's the deal. I mean, if life is about us in this earth, and that the only and that God is up there somewhere, and the only purpose for God, the reason why God exists, is for my little life to make it happy and to remove every trial and every problem that I have, which is pretty much what most of Christianity believes, except Peter. Peter doesn't. Okay. You know. And then God said, I think I'm going to have him write this. You know. And where's your stuff in the Bible? Did you write anything in there? Or me? No. No. So we need to go with this stuff. You know? You know? And we are basically saying then if our view is not correct, if it is a carnal view, meaning it is a carnal means flesh, right, in Spanish. Carne. It is flesh, a fleshly view, and the fleshly view is me. I'm the flesh, and I'm protecting the flesh, and I go, Lord, take this trial away. And he says, but we don't hear him because we wouldn't even, he would speak and we'd say it thundered. Remember that place in the scriptures where that happened? Because we wouldn't get it. Because we don't speak the same language. We would say, Lord, take this trial away. And he would say, but if I take it away, then I'll never see Jesus come out of it. You'll only remain this dross, this fleshly being that lives down here and lives for your own existence. And then we'd go, now. You know? I mean, we don't see it. We don't hear it. We don't get it. It's a foreign language, so it's like a thunder. There's no reality to that to us. And when you turn on the television and they're saying, God will take that away. Well, you know, yeah, he will, but Mallory hit the nail on the head. Isn't it better if the goal comes up, if Christ comes more to the top instead of us? You know, it comes to the surface. I mean, he's in there. We say, well, I know I got gold in me. You know, I got Jesus in me. I'm full of gold. I just don't let any of it show up. You know what I mean? That's right. It's my gold. It's, you know. All right. I guess we better quit because you people are getting crazy. All right, let's pray. Let's go ahead and pray this time. Father, just move by your Spirit upon us and change our view and our understanding and our language so that we can hear your language when you speak to us and that we can read it as it was written. You say that so many times in the scriptures, and as it was written, da 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 da, and then you declare it. We need to read it as it is written instead of as we perceive it. Let your Spirit begin to mold our minds and let that mind of Christ be within us. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll take a break.